life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Amen. As we were doing a confession, I saw my wife smile, so my heart skipped a beat. Amen. Praise God. Well, what a blessing it is to just be a part of this ministry where I can come on a consistent basis and hear a word that's taught that I can apply in my life and see results. Amen. Because it is the will of God that we walk in victory in every area of our life. And to review, Pastor James, this past Sunday, he taught at the 9 a lesson entitled Giving Makes Your Life Better. Giving makes your life better. And he was sharing his testimony, and he covered three main things that he learned. If you remember, he covered three main things that he learned. You can go ahead and put those up. Number one, that giving is God's plan. Number two, that giving must be consistent even when it is not ideal. And number three, the importance of trusting God as my source. The importance of trusting God as my source. And if you were not in the 9 o'clock service on Sunday, I certainly encourage you to go ahead and listen to it. You can get the podcast by way of text. If you need help in signing up for that, please ask one of us, and we'll be happy to give you instructions on how to do that. Look at that. Ellen's on the money. Just puts up the screen. Connect through text. There you go. And, you know, or you can also go on the website as well. But I would encourage you, faith comes by hearing. So you want to hear the word that is taught, amen, through our senior pastor on a consistent basis because we've been assigned to him, amen. And so that was the 9 o'clock service. At the 11 a.m. service, the Spirit of God was moving strongly during worship, and Pastor James received a word from the Lord that we are to believe and release faith for what? For moments of favor. If you were here at the 11, you certainly remember that, but moments of favor. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life when I have asked myself the question, God, what are you saying right now? And we received a word through our man of God that this is a season where we can expect moments with an S of favor. That word moment, it has an S on the end of it. That means that it is plural, not singular. So we are to release our faith for many moments of favor. And Pastor James, he asked me to continue on the topic of giving tonight. And so that's what we're going to do. Tonight, my lesson is simply why giving matters. Why giving matters. And I love how God works, because when you think about what happened on Sunday, we received the principles, but we also received the prophetic word to back up those principles so we can release faith for it to come to pass. And as we've been taught, for every promise, for every prophecy, and for every principle, there is a faith process to bring it to pass. Amen. We're going to start out in Genesis 8 and 22. Genesis 8 and 22, it says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. All of those things are still in existence. Therefore, there's still seed time and harvest. This scripture is letting us know that the principles of giving, they do not change. The principles of giving, they are timeless. They are eternal. They're not subject to circumstances, but they stand by themselves, whether or not we participate in those principles or not. The word of God stands forever. Amen. In the 1960s, there was a young preacher who was bivocational because he was just getting his ministry started at that time. And he worked a secular job, and at that time, he made about $200 a week. For the 1960s, that actually wasn't that bad, which means his tithe would have been how much? $20, that's right, don't shout me down, all right, $20. So it just so happened that right after payday, he needed to buy tires, all right, for his vehicle. So him being a pastor or preacher doesn't mean he's exempt from temptation, right? He had the money for the tires except for $20. He needed $20 more dollars in order to buy the tires that he needed to go on the trip. So now you already know where this is headed, right? So, the tithe just happens to be $20, but I need the $20 for the tithe. All right, so he decided, you know what? Just this one time, I'm going to take my tithe money and use it toward the tires. So Sunday passed, he didn't tithe, and nothing seemed to happen. All right, so he goes at the beginning of the week, he goes to begin to purchase those tires, and he's looking for that $20 bill right where he left it in the dresser, you know, where he had placed it, and he searches in the dresser. He can't find it. He searches everywhere throughout the house. Maybe I just put it somewhere. I don't really know. You know, maybe I got busy. Something happened. He looks everywhere, turns the house upside down, can't find the $20. And finally, he prays, and that still small voice known as the Holy Spirit says to him, if I can't have it, you can't either. Why giving matters? There are many reasons why giving is important, but I want to share with you what the Holy Spirit gave me, that there are three reasons. Giving matters because it demonstrates three things. It demonstrates trust, it demonstrates honor, and it demonstrates worship. Giving matters because it demonstrates trust, it demonstrates honor, and it demonstrates worship. Amen. Let's go to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And so the battle between giving and not giving is a mental one. The battle between giving and not giving is a mental one. We love the Lord, and once we've been taught what the scripture teaches, the mental battle occurs when facing the circumstances of life. Just like that young preacher. I don't know if you've ever been in that valley of decision. Okay, what am I going to go with, all right? But we push back against the pressures of life through obedience. Understand that we push back against the pressures of life through obedience. All right, circumstances of life are trying to put pressure on us to adapt our behavior, but our behavior is supposed to push back the circumstance through obedience to God's word. And as we read in Proverbs 3, I must be willing to ask myself a question. Am I leaning on my own understanding or am I leaning on him? Am I leaning on my own understanding or am I leaning on him? And that's an important question to think about. In other words, where am I placing my trust? You see, money is a good servant, but a bad master. I can't be led just by money. I must be led by the Spirit based on the truth of God's word. There's a huge difference between being led by money and being led by the Spirit. And the heart of a giver is led not by money, but by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. That's you and I right there. The heart of a giver is led not by money, but by the Spirit of God. During the offering, it was on Sunday at the 9 when the Lord gave me those three words, trust, honor, and worship. And I'm trying to get it down in my notes section as fast as I can. I wasn't texting somebody, but when it's flowing, you've got to go with the flow because you may not remember it later on. You know, I heard a preacher say one time, I want to stand under the spout where the glory comes out, where the glory was coming out. So I had to get it down in my notes before I forgot about it later. So when that happens, that's a special time when God is talking to you. And I would encourage you in your own life, wherever you are, when the Holy Spirit talks to you, put it down. Amen. Because he wanted me to share those things with you tonight, that giving matters because it demonstrates trust, it demonstrates honor, and it demonstrates worship. So where was I? All right. Well, let me back up a little bit. I'm getting ahead of myself all over my notes already. Okay. So that messes with my mind. See, I got to trust in the Lord. See, we all got to do this. All right. So we're coming off an absolutely incredible weekend. Our oldest daughter, she just graduated from high school, and it's just amazing to watch her, amen, excel. You know, she had a 4 point something something. I don't know what it was. It's, you know, picking on her, I said, what, a 4.0 isn't good enough for you? You know, that used to be good enough back in the day, but apparently, you know. But it was just amazing. And when things like this happen, and I know you've seen this in your own life, when milestones are achieved, it causes you to take a step back and think about perspective and think about things. And, you know, someone had asked me about a week ago, you know, are you going to cry at your daughter's graduation? I'm like, I don't think so. I'm like, I don't know. I don't really plan to cry. You know, is that something we plan to do? We plan to cry. You know, I don't know. You know, so I just didn't, maybe it's the masculine brain. I don't know what it was, but I just couldn't really answer the question. Okay, but the reality is I didn't cry at graduation. I actually cried before graduation. All right, before when they were lining up and they had the pictures of the high school seniors and their baby picture right next to each other. That's when I got choked up and was looking straight ahead. Don't make eye contact with anybody, right? So, all right, but I wasn't exactly planning to cry, but what the Spirit of God was showing me was the importance of obedience. Amen. The Holy Spirit was talking to me. When Pastor James was teaching on Sunday, he reminded me that if Deb and I were led by money, we would have never reached out in obedience to provide a family for our 5 beautiful daughters. And I want to share with you a little bit of our testimony that we had no money when we started out, and the Lord began to talk to us about adoption. I mean, we didn't have the money we needed to start, but we didn't have money, period. It wasn't just for adoption. We just didn't have money. And questions, trying to lean on my own understanding, questions would come to mind. How are we going to take care of children when at that time we couldn't even take care of ourselves? We had to decide, are we going to lean or trust on our own understanding, or are we going to trust in God? It was at that time it seemed like we owed everybody but couldn't pay anybody. It was December 2006, and we were living in a 1-bedroom apartment Although we owned the 4-unit apartment building, we were living in one of the smallest units. All right, we were kind of stuck. I've heard people say one time, oh, it feels like I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place. Well, that's kind of what it felt like, although we certainly were not confessing that. That was the feeling that kind of ensued, all right? And our apartment was so small that the couch, okay, you would sit on the couch and watch TV. If you did a backflip, you'd be on our bed. Okay, because we slept in the living room. We had Felicia at the time, and she had the bedroom. Okay, it did make life convenient. You're watching college basketball, game over, backflip, I'm asleep. All right? But that was not what God had intended for the Becks. You got it? So what had happened is we had rushed into a real estate transaction much too soon. All right? It wasn't that God didn't have something for us, but hindsight's kind of 20/20, and you learn and you grow. We had ignored some red flags that the Lord was trying to show us along the way, that it wasn't quite the right time for us to move forward, and it certainly looked like we were stuck. It certainly looked like there was no way out. We were thousands of dollars in debt, and it looked like adoption was not a possibility. And yet God is speaking to us very clearly about adoption. He is speaking to us, and we have to go, are we going with what we know, the small bedroom where you flip from the couch to the bed? Or are we going with the word of the Lord that says, I'll provide what you need along the way? You got it? And there are defining moments in each one of our lives where we have got to decide, what are we going to go with? Are we going to go with what it looks like? Are we going to go with what it feels like? Or are we going to reach out in faith and go with what God had said in his word? Amen? So I'm talking to God like, you know, we're broke. Can't you see this? I can't even buy my wife a Christmas present. You know, and you're talking about something that costs thousands and thousands of dollars. So we had taken a trip to Haiti that very month while we were living in the apartment with the couch where you flip over and end up in the bed. All right, we took a mission trip that very month. The Holy Spirit told us very specifically, you are to go to Haiti. All right, you are to go with the founder of this orphanage. All right, and so we had to step out in faith. Within 2 weeks, we just let some people know, hey, what we were doing. The Lord had told us, you need to take Christmas to the orphans at this particular orphanage. And so we didn't have to spend any of our own money, which we didn't have anyway. We just had to obey. And God raised up people. Within 2 weeks, we had over $2,000 to go on the missions trip, to do what God told us to do, to provide Christmas and toys and supplies for this orphanage. Am I going to go with my own natural understanding, or am I going to reach out? We would have never seen the $2,000 if Pat and Debbie had gotten stuck in the natural way of thinking. But we had to step outside of our comfort zone, and he is a step outside of your comfort zone God, that he's going to give you something that is bigger than what you can do. But it doesn't matter if you don't have the money. What matters is, do you have the faith? Because the faith will produce the sight and the favor that money is required. Amen. So we go, and the awesome thing about this trip is, I dressed up in the only suit we had. I mean, I felt good about myself. I may have been broke, but I went to the airport, I dressed up, I looked good, and they upgraded our tickets to first class. And the Holy Spirit told me very clearly, if you do what I told you to do, you go first class. If you do what you want to do, you don't go first class. But if you do what I told you to do, I will make sure that it works out and you go first class. Here's the principle. When God asks you to do something, he's not asking you to pay for it. He's asking you to believe for it. There's a big difference. When God asks you to do something, he's not asking you to pay for it. He's asking you to believe for it. Mark 11, 22 and 24. Very familiar passage of scripture. It says, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. That verse doesn't mean nothing about you paying for it. It mentions you believing for it. You won't find payment in that scripture. So when God asks you to do something, he's not asking you to pay for it. He's not asking you to figure it out. He's asking you to believe for it. So we go to Haiti. We see the devastation of poverty like we never had before. And we came back changed. And I remember coming back from Haiti, laying in bed in that apartment with the couch where you flip over. And there's the bed. I'm laying in that bed. And I look up at the ceiling. All right, we had just gotten back from Haiti. And I thank God that I had a roof over my head at that time, because I saw people that didn't have a roof over their head. So perspective is a powerful thing. Amen. So remember how I told you I moved too fast in buying that piece of real estate? I just did it. I didn't pray about it. I ignored the red flags. I was just excited. You know, and passion is good, but there must be wisdom to accompany passion. All right. Here's the thing about God, though. He can redeem your mistakes and bring you out of trouble even when it's your fault. Some of us think just because we've made mistakes that somehow that cancels out the benefits of righteousness or that cancels out the favor of God. But let me tell you, God loves you so much that he can redeem your mistakes. He can redeem the things that you did that you thought weren't good. Turn them around for the amazing to take place. Amen. You remember the story when David and his men returned from battle to find their wives and children and possessions taken and their property and their city were on fire? If you want to read it, that's 1 Samuel chapter 30. The Bible says that David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I pursue?" And God responded, "Not only will you pursue, but you will what? You will recover all." You see, you need to understand tonight that recovery is all wrapped up in the pursuit. Your recovery is wrapped up in the pursuit. You don't recover if you don't pursue. Pursue and recover all. Does that make sense? You got it? Give the Lord a hand of praise. All right. So we need to be like David. David, he inquired of the Lord. Lord, I don't know what to do. What do I do? I need your wisdom. I need your help. So my prayer went something like this. God, you love Pat and Debbie just like you love David. So I'm going to follow his example. What do I need to do to get out of this property? What do I need to do to get out of this one-bedroom apartment with the couch with a bed, you know? So what do I need to do? Because I'm tired of doing a little flip every night. I need something to change in my life. So I pray that prayer. One night shortly thereafter, we're sitting on the couch and we're flipping through channels and we come across TBN, Trinity Broadcasting Network. Pastor Jensen Franklin, he's preaching up a storm. I don't know if you ever heard of him or not, but he pastors Free Chapel in Gainesville, Georgia. And he was talking about seasons of transition. And that, you know, we always say that when God closes a door, he opens up another one. And he said there's a piece of the equation that we forgot about. And the piece is we forgot to tell you it's hell in the hallways. So sometimes God will close a door and he will open another door, but sometimes there's a middle period. There's a hallway experience that you've got to go through for your faith to grow stronger. And it's during the hallway period, what are we going to do? Are we going to buckle under pressure and start confessing our feelings? Or are we going to lock in to the word of faith and say, for God I'll live and for God I'll die. He watches over his word to perform it in my life. He hasn't forgotten about me. It's his will that I prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. Why so downcast? Oh, my soul, put your trust in God. I know you're feeling down about the bed where you got to flip, you know, the couch where you got to flip and see the bed. I know all that, but I've got to magnify God and get my mind off the circumstance and get my mind on him. Amen. And I have the power to do it. The power is in your mouth. I can speak and create with my mouth what I want to see happen in my life. And if I declare the word, my mood will change. Amen. You hear what I said? If I declare the word, my mood will change. So he's talking about seasons of transition. He kept preaching and he made a challenge to sow a seed if you're in a hallway and to make a pledge or a vow if you couldn't do it right then. If you weren't able to do it right then, you know, he said, you know, make a vow. All right. The Spirit of God speaks to both Deb and I that we're to make $1,000 pledge. We don't have it, so we vow it. Okay. So we vow to sow a seed with the profits of our property. So we said, Lord, you help us get out of this. I'm going to keep my vow. All right. It was time for us to get out of the hallway. The principle that we find this in scripture in Job 22, 27 and 28. Job 22, 27, 28. It says, thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. We decreed the sale of our apartment building so we could move forward with our adoptions and pay our vows. It was nearly 5 months later, we sold our apartment building shortly before the housing market crashed. We made a profit of $45,000. We paid our tithes, we paid our $1,000 vow, we paid off some debt, and put the rest in a special adoption account we had opened for our girls. So this is something, there's always something you can do. It don't matter if you don't have money right now. It don't matter if everything looks crazy. It doesn't matter what the circumstance is. You have your mouth, and you can choose to believe what you want to believe. Amen? Now, here's the thing. If you want to make a vow, it's important that you keep the vow that you made. When it comes to making a vow to God, we need to follow the instructions of Scripture because God takes vows quite seriously. In Ecclesiastes 5, 4 to 5, it says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better it is that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. In other words, don't make a vow and then change your mind. Amen? That's not a vow. Deb and I, we exchanged wedding vows. I haven't changed my mind. Why? Because that day, my word was as good as this is done till death do his part. Pray she doesn't kill me. Amen. You got it. Right? Praise God. That's not going to happen. Amen. I got a good thing. Amen. All right. But that's a vow. A vow means when you say it, it's as good as done. There's no backing up. So in our hearts, that $1,000, we'd already given it. So when we got to 45, we weren't like in the valley of decision at that point. No. We made a vow to God, which means he did what he said he was going to do. So I'm going to do what I pledged that I would do. Amen. Are you ready for your moments of favor? Amen. Here's the principle. The principle is this. Giving propels you toward your destiny. Giving propels you toward your destiny. Why? Because it demonstrates trust. It demonstrates honor. And it demonstrates worship. Pastor James talked about the moments of favor on Sunday. Amen. That was a right now word. Luke 6:38. Familiar passage. It says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet it withal, it shall be measured to you again. Powerful, powerful verse. There's only one word in that verse that is your responsibility. The first one. Everything else is about what God's going to do. It's a huge if-then statement. If you give, boom, all these other things are going to happen, and he goes into great detail to explain what is going to happen. Amen. So moments of favor are connected to your giving. Moments of favor are connected to your giving. When you respond to the word and give in faith, favor shows up. That's what it means in Luke 6:38 when he says, men give into your bosom. That's called favor, the willingness of others to use their power, ability, and influence to help you prosper. But it starts with you in Luke 6:38. It starts with the give. Amen. And I can't give for you, and you can't give for me. Amen. You can pay my mortgage if you want to, but you can't give for me. And if you want to pay my mortgage, I'm going to let you pay my mortgage. But one thing you cannot do is give my offering for me. The offering has got to come from me because it's attached to my heart and it's connected to my destiny. Amen. You with me so far? Amen. I'm having fun. Hope you are too. I want to close with instructions on what do I do if I'm struggling with my giving. What do I do? You know, because we're a word of faith ministry. How to? What do I do? We don't just share the word, but what do I do in a particular set of circumstances? And if you are struggling in your giving, there are four things that you can do. Amen. Number one, build your faith concerning giving. Number two, surround myself with givers. Number three, remove negative thinking from your circle of influence. And number four, make giving a priority in your finances. All right, number one, build my faith concerning giving. We understand that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. In January, Pastor James taught a series on generosity. It's all about the heart. You need to get that series. If you're struggling with giving, you need to get that series and listen to it over and over and over and over again. How much do I listen to it? Well, how blessed do you want to be? This principle works. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. It doesn't come by what you heard. I heard that scripture. That's great. I've heard the scripture too. The question is it life now? Faith comes by hearing. I may have heard it, but am I hearing it? Those are two different things. Heard is past tense. Hearing is present. So I've got to have a right now hearing of the word in my ear to get what I need to build my faith. Amen. Does that make sense? All right. So this is really how I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, it wasn't dramatic. It wasn't, you know, falling out on the floor and rolling around 16 times and bumping my head in the wall, and then I started speaking in tongues. Nothing like that. I listened to a tape. That shows you how long ago this was. It was a cassette tape, okay? And I wore that thing out in my car. I wore it out. I kept listening to it. I kept listening to my father-in-law's series on being filled with the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. And I kept listening. I'm like, you know what? I want that. So I'm going to be like, who was it? Israel, with Jacob at the time, who turned Israel. I won't let you go until you bless me. I will not let go of the promises of God until I see it happen in my life. And so for me, I played the tape so much, it got hot, and somehow it stopped playing. So I had to kind of give it a rest for a little while. So then eventually I put it back in a tape player. But because faith comes by hearing, one night I'm getting up in the middle of the night just to use the restroom. On my way to the bathroom, I start speaking in tongues. Nothing spiritual about it. I wasn't in church is what I'm trying to say. I wasn't in church. I didn't have my hands lit. I didn't even have my eyes closed. I'm like, well, I'm trying not to say it too loud because I don't want my dad to hear what I'm saying. So, but I'm like, this is it. Okay, and it was the beginning, but it was a manifestation. It was a beginning. And if you're at the beginning of something, don't reject the beginning. Don't get upset because you just see a little bit, because a little bit is a prophecy that more is on the way. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. You can't get mad at the blade because the blade is a sign of life. If you've got any kind of a manifestation, you need to give God praise because that means you're on the right track. Amen? Second thing I need to do, I need to surround myself with givers. All right, the scripture teaches us that we make each other better. In Proverbs declares that as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. That's what that really means, is that we make each other better. By coming into fellowship with each other, interaction with each other, we each have something to offer. By hearing the testimonies of others, this is how we are encouraged. And we have to understand that what God has done for one, he will do for another. He's not a respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of faith. So that's why I've got to get into this faith thing. Number three, I need to remove negative thinking from your circle of influence. There are people that may be around you, but you just have to choose not to discuss giving or financial matters with them. If they try to argue, just tell them you agree to disagree and leave it alone. Don't waste your time arguing. If necessary, get new friends. I'm telling you, your prosperity is at stake. Because what you hear over and over and over again, you've got to form faith boundaries so that you don't let certain things within your hearing, because faith comes by hearing. So you got to let the right things in your hearing and keep the wrong things out. Amen? I've got to intentionally hang around people who believe in giving and encourage my faith. And number four, I must make giving a priority in my finances. Based on courage and based on conviction of the word that I hear being taught, I need to organize my finances and be open to adjusting what I need to adjust in order to make finances, or in order to make giving a priority in my finances. And this may cause me to be outside of my comfort zone at times. But that's okay, because being outside of your comfort zone means new things are on the horizon for you. Amen. And I was thinking about all these things and not trusting in my own understanding and watching God perform the miraculous in our girls. Each one of them, they are five miracle trophies of the goodness of God. And when I saw my oldest girl walk across that stage, realizing that she had survived an earthquake, realizing that everybody said this would never happen, realizing that lawyers said no, realizing that government said no, I could not help but give God praise, because when you get a yes from God, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Do you receive that tonight? God is good, amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise, amen. We can stand, because I am finished. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I want to